नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So the previous chapter ended with the most confidential knowledge. We were hearing from the Lord speaking to Arjuna various things, one of which is devotional service, about how we first heard the first section about the Lord's connectedness and non-connectedness to this material world. How he is present in the material world, at the same time he is aloof. Then we heard about the Mahatmas and Duratmas. Then Lord spoke about how the Mahatmas are constantly engaged in his devotional service and how the Duratmas, they reject the Lord. And then Lord spoke about the other three categories of people. Those who don't surrender to him, but those who surrender to him indirectly. Three categories of people we studied, isn't it? He spoke about those who are ekatvena, pratyatvena, bahudha, avashvatvam, asamham. Those who consider themselves to be one with God, those who worship the demigods, and those who worship the Virat Purusha form. And then Lord clearly delineated very nicely about how worshipping him is not the same as worshipping the devata. So Lord explains about the glory of bhakti, how the path of bhakti is so simple. Yet, such devotional service of Krishna takes one to the highest position of returning back to God. So towards the end, the Lord even said, even a very great sinner, even if his devotee commits a very abominable activity, and he slips from the standard of devotional service occasionally, that is not to be taken seriously, he will still be considered a sadhu. So in this way, the Lord shows that one who becomes his devotee is considered very special in the previous verse. And then towards the end, Lord said, anybody can become his devotee. Anybody in any walk of life can take devotion service. And that last time when we read this verse, very famous verse, Manmana Bhavam Dhatto Madhyarimam Namaskaru. The Lord established that the supreme yoga is bhakti, practiced by constant remembrance. So now Krishna has given us the order that you should constantly remember me. So how can we remember Krishna constantly? In fact, I was asking you a question, if you remember last time. If you just show a photograph of somebody, isn't it? You remember I was telling you?
Yeah,
isn't it? And if I tell you that you have to love this person, how can you all of a sudden develop love for that person? It's not possible. You have to know the nature of a person, the qualities of a person, what are his opulences, what is his greatness. When you know about a person, how great is he, then you develop an attraction for that person. That is why it is said, knowledge of the Lord's vibhutis, vibhuti or aishwarya we call it, that causes the knowledge to be awakened in the heart of the devotee. So the more you are aware of the Lord's greatness, at once one develops a great reverence and respect for him. That's like, say one of you had a friend in the school. You studied with that friend, say, in your 4th or 5th standard. And you didn't know much about that friend. Now you have passed several years now. Now say you are 35 or 40 now. All of a sudden the friend calls you. You remember we studied in the same school, such and such school. We were sitting in the same bench. And he said, yeah, I remember very well. So he says that now I am traveling worldwide. I have business worldwide. I am going to America, I am going to London, Canada. Now I have come to India. So I would like to meet you. Then he asked me, where do you want me to meet? back end we both meet together. And he says, you don't worry about meeting, you just tell me your address. I will send a car to pick you up. So you tell him your address. And then you find the Benz car comes to pick you up. They put you in the car. There are four servants who come out and they put you in the car and they take you. And they go and see your friend. He is living in a huge bungalow, all made up of marble, surrounded by beautifully maintained gardens, swimming pools and everything. Practically acres. It's in a huge bungalow. And you go and you meet your friend, you remember his face, that how he looks like, you see him. And you see him dressed in very costly garments. And all his family members wearing all costly jewelry. And the whole palace is decorated with, all kinds of furniture and bedecked with soft silk and everything. So you become totally stunned. And then anything you ask him, immediately just raises his hand. Whether he does, immediately five people come running. He does like this, immediately five people come running. And he tells them, okay, you go and get this, you go and get that. Anything you want, he just, next to him, raises his hand and immediately people come. So how do you feel? Immediately a thought comes to your mind. I never knew that my friend is so rich. I never knew my friend is so opulent and so great. He was a school boy sitting right next to me. The same Benz, he looked like an ordinary boy. Now I am understanding how great he is. Isn't it? So in our heart, immediately a kind of respect arises in our heart when you see the greatness and opulence of a person. So when you go to, in case you don't find your friend there, and you have arrived at his house, he is yet to come. So you find on the table a golden pen is kept. Immediately you take the golden pen, you go and say, oh, very beautiful. This golden pen is so attractive. And then at the entrance you find a shoe stand where very costly shoes are kept, shining shoes. And you feel, how nice it will be if I could have one like this. Isn't it? You may feel like that. But when you go inside, then you meet your friend, and when you again talk to him and relate with him, you develop such attraction for him that you lose attraction for all the previous objects that you saw. In the same way, the Supreme Lord also has unlimited opulences. Just like you see a golden pen and become attracted to that. Similarly, sometimes the worshippers of the universal form, they look at the sun and they become stunned. The sun is Lord's eye. Sun and moon is Lord's eye. It is so great. Surely they don't claim that my eyes are sun and moon. They don't claim that. They are not like this Ekatvena people. There is a clear-cut difference. The Ekatvena category people, they are worshippers of Ahangraha Upasana. They consider themselves to be Brahman. Whereas the Virat Purusha worshippers, they clearly know that Lord is very great and I am very, very tiny and small. But they become attracted to the large energies, like looking at the sun, looking at the moon, looking at the Grand Canyon, or the Meru Parvat, or the Lord, how is he conducting the affairs of this world, so amazingly. So they become attracted by all these things, exactly like when you go to your friend's house, look at the pen, look at the shoe stand. But the Lord says, these are all, by seeing the things, the kind of things that he uses, you can know how great a person is, isn't it? According to your status of your family, naturally you will also use things which are very costly, isn't it? Like people sometimes go to a hotel, they eat half of it and leave half. You see that?
Yeah.
That is to show their level of the family. You are not supposed to finish everything, completely. So they leave little bit to show that we are some prestigious family, isn't it? Similarly, the kind of garments you use, kind of you use, the kind of house you live in, the way you spend your money, isn't it? Based on all that, you estimate the level of a person. But in this world, no matter how much a person be rich, such people's lives are short-lived. People live for some few years, 1800 years. They get sick, they get old, they die. And who knows what will be the next body, what will be the next destination. It depends on how they live their life now. But the Lord, he possesses his opulences since time immemorial. He has been possessing them, now he possesses them and he will possess them forever. That is the nature of Lord's vibhuti. It is never taken away from him. It is always present with him. So the Virat Purusha worshippers have a very great respect for Lord's energies. And when you go one step higher, instead of just appreciating the energies of the Lord, in this chapter, Lord goes into more depth explaining his specific opulences. Like it will become more personal now. Like you see in 7th chapter we read Rasoham of Sukamteya, I am the taste of water, Prabhasmi, Shashi Surjayo, I am the light of the sun, I am the light of the moon, Pranavasarvavedhi, Shabda Kep, Aushan Vishu. And then Lord is Buddhir Buddhimatamasmi. Wherever you see intelligence, that intelligence is me. Wherever you see Balam, Balam Balavatam Chaham, Kamaragavadhitam. So Lord explains many things like that. All the energies that we see pervades the whole universe. So by looking at those energies, we can very easily understand that Krishna is the essence and cause of everything. We can see that and we can understand that. So we develop a kind of respect for the Supreme Truth. And here, Lord, in this chapter, is going to speak of 88 opulences, which he will be listing in this chapter. These are all specific opulences where one can understand who is Krishna, what it means to be God, what is the meaning of God. There are so many people claiming to be God in this world today. So if you read this chapter, you'll be able to laugh at them actually. Read the kind of opulences Lord is speaking about. In fact, the Lord, after saying all the opulences, Lord told Arjuna that I will not be able to explain everything to you. It's not possible. Maybe I can explain to you a tiny fragment of my opulences. I can't tell you everything. And the Lord says, what can I tell you, Arjuna? Simply by one small spark of my splendor, I pervade the whole universe. God says. It is ekamshena sido jagat, he says. In one ansh, ek ansh, whole universe is resting on me, one small ansh. And my opulences are unlimited. I just gave you a sample to show you what kind of opulences I possess. Actually, we don't have any ability to estimate the glories of Krishna. It is not possible. When the Lord was speaking to Muchukunda, the Lord told Muchukunda, the scientists in this world are very busy trying to count the number of atoms. Someday it is likely that they will arrive at the total number of atoms in this universe. I think they have arrived at a figure, 10 to the power of 150, I think. 10 to the power of 150. Something like number of atoms in the universe. But Lord says, even if they arrive at the count of the number of atoms, nobody will be able to estimate my qualities. So many are my qualities. The Lord tells to Muchukunda. And he also said that even if you take all the sand particles of this earth and count them, my qualities are even more. Ananta Shesh, since the dawn of creation, has been constantly glorifying the Lord, and he has not come to an end till now. And it is going on. So when we hear these things, what should arise in our heart is a great sense of respect and veneration for the Lord. And we should not become envious. Why Lord is saying that he has so many qualities? Why is he so proud? We shouldn't feel like that. Actually, Lord, for the benefit of the conditioned souls, is revealing his own glories. In one of the Acharya's purports, there is a discussion between Krishna and Arjuna. Actually, Acharyas, they give, when they give purports, you know what they do? Between one verse and another verse, they also talk about what was the mood of Arjuna, what was the mood of the Lord. And what Arjuna must have caught in his mind and asked Krishna, due to which Krishna answered a particular question. Like that they speak. So in one such commentary, Acharya is saying, Krishna looked towards Arjuna and said, my dear Arjuna, I have decided to tell about my glories to you. Because you are not envious of me. When I tell the truth about myself to you, you will not become envious of me, nor you will want to become a competitor to me. Rather, you will hear from me in a friendly attitude, and your love for me will increase. That is why I am going to tell about me to you. So the Lord is saying like that. So, unless we have a friendly disposition towards the Lord, like that of Arjuna, when we hear his opulences and glories, we cannot appreciate them. So that attitude is very important. See the word, Krishna uses the word, Priyamanaya. yatteham priyamanaya vakshyami hitakamyaya. So Lord agrees to speak to him because priyamana means Arjuna is very dear to the Lord and Arjuna loves to hear Krishna's glory. Krishna already spoke a lot in the 9th chapter. Beginning from 7th he began speaking. In 7th Krishna spoke about this opulences and energies, and in 8th he spoke about attaining the Supreme through mystic yoga, yoga mishra bhakti, and in 9th chapter he spoke bhakti directly, and he spoke something more about him, and now he is continuing enthusiastically saying that his devotee is eager to hear about the Lord. That eagerness is actually the price, the non-enviousness, eagerness and a friendly attitude to hear the Lord's glories. And when we hear about the Lord in this mood, then at once in our heart the respect for the Lord increases, and as respect increases more and more and more, at the same time we can also realize our insignificance in front of Him. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays, Ayinanda tanuja kinkaram paritamma vishame bhavangulav kripaya tava pada pankaja sitadoli sadrisham vichintaya. He is saying, my dear Lord, kripaya tava pada pankaja sitadoli sadrisham vichintaya. You keep me at your lotus feet just like a small dust particle, as one of the millions of atoms at your feet. So greater the Lord, we realize the greatness of the Lord, to that degree we also feel ourselves very small. Just like Bali Maharaj is standing in front of Vaman Dev. Bali Maharaj feels, I am the master of all the planets, and I am the Lord of all Lords, and all, even the Devatas are under me, the whole universe is under me. That was his misconception when Bali was the king. So Lord came in front of Bali in the form of a small Brahmana dwarf to smash the pride of Bali Maharaj and to give back the heavens to Indra, which was ideally supposed to be owned by Indra. Asuras are not supposed to take over the whole world. So Lord came like a small dwarf, and that increased the pride of Bali. And Bali saw this Brahmana dwarf asking for 3 steps. So he laughed at him. He said, what are you asking? 3 steps, I can give you islands. You're asking for 3 steps. So Lord told him, 3 steps are enough for me. I'm a Brahmana, I don't take more than what I need. And then when Bali gave the argument, then the Lord grew so huge in size. He practically grew the entire size of the universe. And Bali looked insignificant. So Lord gave Bali the realization, how great is he and how tiny is Bali. This should be our realization also when we hear about his opulence. If you are making progress in Krishna consciousness, we have to realize many, many things. One thing is, as we progress, we have to feel that I don't own anything. Everything is owned by Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna. Actually, this feeling, it is not just you give up everything and you wear this kind of dress and you go to forest. It is that innermost feeling where one can clearly see, nobody needs to convince you. You can see that nothing belongs to me in this world. We all come with naked bodies and we go back with naked bodies. We don't carry anything with us. Although we possess so many things. We have to leave our computers, our suitcases, our big bungalows, and the cars, and the bank balance, everything that we possess now. Everything belongs to Krishna. That's one realization one gets. But also one realizes that Krishna is in control and I am insignificant. Everything is controlled by Him. So one acharya is asking a very intelligent question. He is saying that if you know Krishna is inside of you, Krishna is outside you, Krishna is everywhere and in everything, He is all around you and He is also within you, then how can you not think of Him? How is it possible that you cannot think of Him? That is the greatest mystery. Lord is antaryami, sitting in the heart of everyone. Lord is also present in every atom, all over. But the illusion in this world is so great that it can put us to forgetfulness. It can make our eyes blind. So Lord here kindly helps us to open our eyes and see the truth. Sadhana is taking the role of a conditioned soul and is inquiring from Krishna, and Krishna is kindly revealing. So when the mask of Maya is gradually removed, then we can see the truth for ourselves. In fact, Lord said, Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samagata mudoyam nabijanati mametya paramavyayam. My dear Arjun, those people whose eyes are covered by Maya, they cannot see me. It's not possible for them to see me. What does it mean that one cannot see Krishna? It means such a people may see Krishna, they may hear about Krishna, but they cannot realize the position of Krishna as God, as the Supreme, and as the last word in transcendence. They cannot understand Krishna to be so great. They will think of Krishna to be some politician or as some, like a playboy who was playing with girls. Or they may think of Krishna to be some coward boy, like that. So, because of such a vision, a person's eyes are closed with Maya and he cannot see. But then Lord says in the next verse immediately, although they cannot see me, I can see them. Veda ham samatitani vartamanani chajana bhavishyani chabhutani maam tu vedana kashchana. I can see the past, I can see present, I can see future. I can know the past, present, future of that person who is not able to understand me. But maam tu vedana kashchana. He cannot see me, but I can see him. So why Arjuna asked this question, Acharya said in between, that when Krishna says that Arjuna, they cannot see me because there is a curtain. See, there is a curtain between you and me. Neither can you see me nor can I see you, isn't it? But Krishna says that is not the way the curtain is. Krishna has such a, like a pulling glass curtain, that you cannot, Krishna says, you cannot see me but I can see you. That's why in the very next verse he says, Maam tu vedana kashchana, but I know your past, present, future, everything. But you cannot see me. So this should make us humble, that Lord is seeing me at every moment, and He is all the time present in His full glory with all His opulences. But owing to my blindness, I am unable to see His greatness. What a pity. So how can I get to see Him? That eagerness should arise in the heart. So if one gets that eagerness, at the same time one is humble enough, and then one hears the opulences, then Krishna's true glory will be awakened in our hearts. I read in many places in Bhagavatam, whether it is the prayer of gopis or Rukmini or demigods, in all the prayers, often I see them praying, oh my dear Lord, let your lotus feet be awakened in our heart. So what it means is, the meaning of lotus feet becoming awakened in our hearts means, our hearts have a throne, and who is the king sitting in the throne? We ourselves. At present. In the condition stage, we are only sitting in the throne, and we are thinking ourselves to be the master. But they are praying that let your lotus feet be awakened in our hearts, they are praying, which means that let us understand that we are under your lotus feet. And you are very great, you are great, you are mighty, you are full of all six opulences, and we are very, very tiny. So when Krishna entered Dwaraka, when he returned to Dwaraka, Krishna blew the conch shell. It is said, very beautiful explanation is given in Srimad Bhagavatam, when he was blowing, his lips were reddish. And due to the reddish lips of Krishna, the whole conch was glowing with red, pure white conch. And Krishna was holding it, his hands were like lotus. So the comparison is given how the conch was like a swan and Krishna's hands were like the lotus. So similarly, the Paramahamsas are called as the swan, and they are in constant touch with Krishna, like the Krishna's glory. Like the Hamsas are always in the midst of lotus, they tangle themselves in lotus and they enjoy. Similarly, the Paramahamsas are constantly in touch with Krishna. So when Krishna blew the conch shell, in all the Dwaraka Vasis, they all heard it. At once they understood that our Lord has returned back to Dwaraka. At once they came out of their houses, out of their palaces, and they started throwing fruits and butter and buttermilk and all kinds of even uncut fruits and dry fruits, everything they started throwing in the street, which is a sign of auspiciousness. They throw some water, scented waters, everywhere all over the street. They decorated their houses with beautiful sugarcane trees, banana trees and sugarcane trees, and beautiful flowers. They all brought the aarti plates out to offer aarti to the Lord, everyone in their houses. And many of them boarded their chariots and started riding very fast to go and receive the Lord, like Akrura, Samba, Ugrasena, and all of them, very great personalities, and all the common citizens and everyone. They all went to the city. There were huge elephants, and there were Vedic Brahmins chanting the Vedic mantras, and also processions of people. And there were flags and festoons all over the city with the Hanuman symbol or Garuda symbol everywhere in order to welcome the Lord, like that. And when the Lord came, Lord was so pleased to see them, and they were also very pleased to see the Lord, and they were all exchanging love by telling the Lord, how long you have left us and gone away, now we have come, we were waiting for, hankering for you, please don't put us into separation like this ever in future. And Lord also spoke sweet words to them, and some of them are holding the white umbrella over the Lord, and others were doing chamar for the Lord, and the Lord's dress was, Pitambara was shining like lightning or like a rainbow. So Acharya gave a beautiful explanation. Just like the white umbrella is compared to the sun, and the chamara is compared to the moon, and the dazzling Pitambara is compared to rainbow in the sky. Have any of you seen all these three things together in the sky on any day? Sun, moon and rainbow. Is that possible? But in the case of the Lord, all these things can appear simultaneously in the sky because of His inconceivable nature. The Lord looks so beautiful. So this is awe and reverence that we are talking about here. In this awe and reverence, the Lord was received into the city so wonderfully, with all music and song, everyone respecting the Lord, glorifying Him. So the great devotees of the Lord have naturally this kind of mood of respect for Him, a very great respect for Him. So this kind of respect should be cultivated in the beginning of devotion service. It's very, very important. If you go to Vrindavan, Vrindavan always they call as Lalita Ji, Vishakha Ji, Shri Ji. You go to the Shri Ji Mandir. Often devotees in the neophyte stage may jump over and start thinking of themselves to be spontaneous devotees. It's likely that you may jump over and start thinking that, I love Kana, I love Radharani, Radhe Radhe. So it's likely that you may jump over and start imagining ourselves to be very great devotees. Recently, I was talking to Bhakti Vikas Swami when he came to Pune. So in one of the discussions, he was telling in the room, actually I had a long talk, one or two hours we had a discussion. I asked many questions, he was answering. So in one of the discussion, he asked a question which put me to great laughter, which I kept on thinking over and over again. So he was telling, Aaj mere Anganame Aao Nandalal. I was telling about his song. So he was telling, we are telling Aaj mere Anganame Aao Nandalal. We are singing like that, he said. But ideally speaking, we are supposed to sing, he said. This song he was telling. What is it? Padi Bavar Navajale, Natare Deki Upai. Anadi Karmapale, Padi Bavar Navajale, Natare Deki Upai. He said, we should sing this because our heart is filled with so much of anartha. Anadi Karmapale, and we are suffering the karmic reactions of so many lifetimes, day after day, month after month, so many sufferings are coming in our life. So we should cry to the Lord, he said. My dear Lord, I am in a great predicament. Without your mercy, I cannot give up this Vishaya Vasana. Anadi karma phale padi bhavana jale, and I am getting submerged in the ocean of material existence. And I am suffering. Taripare nade ki upai, I don't know the upai. Some other Vaishnavas are lifting me and bringing me out. And we are saying that Nandalal is coming and dancing in the courtyard. We are telling. Can you see Nandalal dancing in your heart? He was asking. I said, of course, the songs are at a very high level, but sometimes we derive some kind of fun, joy when we hear such songs. But he said, that joy is actually not spiritual, he said. It's very superficial. He said that many times when people hear Krishna's pastimes, they laugh and they rejoice. And he said, especially in India, he traveled all over India, and he said many places people like hearing pastimes of the Lord directly. Especially Krishna pastimes, childhood pastimes, or Krishna pastimes of the gopis. And he said most often in all these pastimes people have a kind of misidentification. They misidentify their child with Krishna. Or, you know, somebody wants a lover, so they may think Krishna and his lovers, gopis. So it's not actual realization. In the early stages, he hardly has any realization. As it is clearly said, it's very appropriate to quote today. Because tomorrow is Nityananda Tridashi. So one has to pray, one has to fall at the feet of Nityananda Prabhu again and again. It is said that Nityananda Prabhu's lotus feet is like millions of moons, it's so cooling. One who has got shelter of Nityananda's lotus feet. And only by achieving the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, one can become free from Vishaya Vasana. It is said, Arakabe Nitai Chande,
Arakabe Nitai Chande, Karuna Hoye De, Samsara Vasana Mora, Kabe Tuccha Habe.
She is praying that, Arakabe Nitai Chande, when will the time come when Lord Nityananda will shower his mercy upon me? And Karuna Hoye De, when will I get his mercy? Samsara vasana mora kabe tuccha habe. When will the samsara vasana become tuccha, insignificant? So without having cleansed our heart of samsara vasana, we cannot expect to develop love for Nandalal, Gopal, Nandalal and all that, Radharaman. We can't develop love, not possible. If we claim to have developed love, it is only an illusion. It is simply an illusion. That is why Prabhupada used to condemn. Once when Prabhupada was in South India, he had gone to a family. As soon as Prabhupada went, the family had a deity of Radha Krishna, and they were saying, Swamiji, tell us about Raslila. We want to hear some pastime. And Prabhupada said, I am not qualified. Which means that you are not qualified. But still they insisted that we want to hear, we want to hear. And Prabhupada just says, he flatly denied, I won't say. Because he understood that the mood of these people is to exploit and enjoy Krishna. So this is the first step in spiritual life, to understand Krishna is the enjoyer and we are his servants. We are enjoyed. We are supposed to be enjoyed by Krishna. That's like we offer the bhoga to Krishna to eat. Similarly, we ourselves are a bhoga for Krishna. Our whole existence, all my bodily limbs are called as rishik, indriya. So rishikena, rishikesha, sevana. So we have to engage all the limbs of the body in the Lord's service. By doing so many activities, making garland for the Lord, cooking for the Lord, bowing down to the Lord, dancing for the Lord, singing for the Lord. Every nerve, every limb of this body should be utilized in His service for His pleasure, not for our pleasure. So by so doing, what will happen? Adha Sri Krishna Amari Na Bhavet Grahyam Indriya. These indriyas are so blunt, they are so dull. As we say, Sharira Avidya Jal, you say, no? They are so dull. We cannot see Krishna with His senses. But when we serve Him, it is like putting iron rod in fire. The iron rod becomes red hot and white hot. It assumes the same quality of fire. So by using our hands and legs, the prayer of Nalakur Manigiri comes to my mind. Vani gunanu katane shravano kathaya. They prayed, my dear Lord, we are such rascals, sinful rascals, that we use our hands for enjoying. Hands and legs and the whole body for enjoying with the dancers in the water. Enjoying. Let the very same hands and legs be utilized in your service now. And our Vani, which was always singing some cinema songs. Of course, I don't know whether they said cinema songs. But singing some songs of sense gratification. Let that voice be utilized in glorifying you. Vani, gunanu katane, in glorifying your qualities. The eyes with which we saw simple things, let the eyes be utilized in looking at your beauty. In this way, let us utilize all our energies and resources and facilities that you have given us back in your service. In this way, they pray wonderful prayers. So if you do like that, then Sevon Mukheji Jihvadav Swayameva Svaratyadaha. Then the Krishna consciousness is awakened in our heart. Then one can realize Krishna, one can realize oneself. The more we realize I am Krishna's servant, the more we become joyful. And we become a free bird. We can get complete freedom. Complete freedom. You see, Narada Muni, he has been given so much freedom that he can fly to any planet he wants, carrying his Sankura in his hand. He can fly to heaven, he can go to Vaikuntha also. God has given him ultimate freedom. So Prabhupada uses one word in the first canto called as Krishna consciousness is the fountainhead of all liberty. So going to heaven is also a little bit of liberty because some suffering is reduced. But going out of this Brahmanda is certainly a great liberty. Going to Brahman is shanti, complete peace. But that is also not complete liberty because one comes back into this world. But going to Vaikuntha, Lord's abode where one serves the Lord is called as the fountainhead of all liberty. Fountainhead of all freedom. One gets complete freedom. So one should not jump over and become a sahajya. Sahajya means those people who take things very cheaply. Those who don't understand the Lord's greatness, but who take the Lord very cheaply. So Srila Prabhupada said, within our ISKCON society, we should look at Radha and Krishna like Lakshmi Narayan. In that mood we should worship. If you go to South India, you will see the Sri Vaishnavas, they have a very great respect for Lakshmi as a mother and Lord Narayan as a Supreme Father. They have a very firm attachment for both Lord and the Mother, Divine Mother Lakshmi. And also for Ramanuja, who is the original Acharya. Like one very old Sri Vaishnava was lifting a palanquin and carrying a palanquin. His body was very skinny and emaciated. He was carrying the palanquin and walking. So one of our ISKCON sannyasis met him and asked him that you are so old, you know. Why are you carrying a palanquin and going in this heavy crowd? Why didn't you go home and take rest? So he said, what will Ramanuja think about me if I am resting at home? Yeah. So the Swami said, just see, you know, they have so much firm faith in Ramanuja, you know, as an Acharya, like the Krishna faith in Srila Prabhupada and in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So although Lord Ramanuja appeared many, many centuries ago, this old Sri Vaishnava has so much faith at the feet of Ramanuja that Ramanuja is watching my activities at every moment and I am serving the Lord for his pleasure. Like that. So one should become such a servant. One should always serve the Lord in the mood of a servant. We should never think. Often what happens when we talk about the five dresses, people try to see them with a materialistic outlook, thinking that maybe I should be a gopi, you know, or maybe Gopa would be better. They think like that, I should be a parent. Generally everyone thinks according to their current bodies what they have got. Like somebody has a Mataji body, they think I should become a gopi. Somebody has a Prabhuji's body, they think I should become a Gopa. Somebody is an elderly person, you know, 60 or 70 years old, they think maybe I should become mother. Because they are conditioned at the current moment. We can't think beyond that. We can of course imagine very nicely whatever you want. All this is going to be a nice figment of our imagination. You won't get much. And there is no use simply putting up drama, imagining all those to be great devotees. Better that, we develop a mood of awe and reverence for the Lord. Develop a respect for Him in the beginning. And as this respect, respectful worship, respectfully bowing down before Him. Sometimes even when you look at the deities of Radha Panjabiyari, Radha Radhika, sometimes we speak things as if they are very advanced devotees. We shouldn't speak like that. We are not in that platform. Sometimes I used to tell to myself, you are not in the platform to use this appreciation. We should always be in a mood of respect. Very, very important. Only very advanced devotees who cannot see difference between male and female. They see the souls. As it's explained in Ishopanishad also, Atmai Vadbhut Janata. What that was? In one of the verses it's explained, such a pure devotee can clearly see in every body there is a soul which is a part and parcel of Krishna, a devotee of Krishna. They don't see the difference between man, woman, elephant, dog, dog eater, tree. They see in everybody there is a soul. And everyone is a devotee of Krishna and they are suffering in this world. So in a very high platform one can perceive Krishna as a Mahabhagavat. So at our level we should develop a respectful attitude. Like one congregation member recently, he is an upcoming devotee. He is just standing one round occasionally. He stands. He tries to stand regularly. So he had come to me. So he wanted to have a big Radha Krishna deity at his house. He said, Prabhuji, I want exactly like Radha Panjabiyari. It should not be even little bit different.
he said, I have fallen in love with these deities, no? Because you all are worshipping, I am sparing them. Otherwise, I really want these deities. Exactly, typical. He said that they have attracted me so much that every morning and evening they made me mad. I am coming to temple to take darshan. Now he brings his wife, children, everyone, mother, father, everyone. And they practically come every day almost. So he said, I have got a new house now and we want to have the darshan. Then I was telling him, you see, in our level, Radha and Krishna, we see them like a boy and a girl. So we may tend to become offensive when we think that their relationship is like that of a boy and a girl. That is not actually the real platform. When one comes to the Brahmapuja stage, when one becomes a pure devotee, at that time one can understand the real relationship between these personalities. Radhani is the topmost devotee. She is the most innocent and pure-hearted. There can't be anybody purer. And she is the topmost devotee of Krishna. And Krishna, what he loves is not the female form, but what he loves is her devotion. And in our level, we always keep thinking that the relationship is like a boy and a girl. So I told him that in order to help us come out of these offenses, the very same Lordships, Radha and Krishna, have combinedly together come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then I told him, just look at those ladies, Gaur Nitai, they are the most merciful personalities. And that is why in our homes we first welcome Shri Gaur Nitai. And he said, Nana Prabhuji, when I come to temple, I go straight to Radha and Krishna. I don't even see who is on the left side. I see at them and I go back. I am not interested in others. I said, no, you cannot speak like this, I told him. I said, if you really want to go back to Godhead, then you cannot afford to become a sahajiya. You have to go step by step. You cannot jump over. Just like a child sees that the mother is having a big stomach. Child is going and asking the mother, mother, what is there in your stomach? It seems you are hiding a pillow in your stomach. The mother says, no, there is a child, your younger brother or younger sister is inside. Very soon you will see her. No? Child says, oh, what is pregnancy? I don't understand. Can child understand anything about it? No, the child has to grow. Now child is 5 years, child has gone 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Then when the right age comes, you can understand everything. One cannot artificially try to understand it at such an immature early stage. Jayadutta Swami was once saying, if a girl, a small girl, she wears the mother's shoes, she cannot become a mother, simply wearing the shoes. So in the same way, we should not try to, Jayapapa explained to him that we should worship Karunita as well. And then I explained to him that if you come to 16 rounds, you know, you should come to the point of, actually when we come to gradually increase the rounds, no, then same time the realization also gradually dawns in our heart. Then we feel ashamed for the way we behaved before. We feel, no, I was thinking I am a very great devotee of Krishna, I am a rascal. I have no attraction for Krishna. I was claiming to be having a great attachment. What attachment I have? It's all bogus. I have so much vishayavasana in my heart. First I have to clean this gutter. Before cleaning the gutter, how can I expect the Lord to come in my heart? So that would be our realization. So that is the reason the Lord is speaking of all this wonderful opulences, and we have to hear Bhagavad Gita and we have to hear the Lord's opulences and His greatness, and we should learn to salute that greatness, bow down to Him, see Him as a very great personality. In the Yoga Mishra Bhakti, for the Yoga Mishra Bhakta, the Lord told how He wants to be worshipped by them. Kavim, Puranam, Anushasitara, Manoraniyasa. All great magnificent things. They should see the Lord as a very greatly learned person. The oldest person. Anushasitara, the ultimate controller. And one who is smaller than the smallest, greater than the greatest, mightiest. So by seeing the Lord like that, one can develop a great respect and reverence for Him. So as we, that's why the jnana, the Aishwarya jnana, or jnana about Lord's vibhutis, they at once make us fold our palms. Once we had gone to this Nigdi Krishna Mandir. So in Nigdi Krishna Mandir, if you see, you all have seen the Guruvayurappan temple, you have seen? You know the temple? So all around there are Krishna's pastimes, if you see. Very nice pastimes are there. Once Isolan Radha Swami had come, so I was there in Nigdi, so I took him to the temple. And I said, Maharaj, a new temple has come up, very beautiful temple, let's go and see. So we showed all the pastimes, Maharaj is delicious very much. And then we came to the, in front of the Phantom Sanctuary. So we are just standing in front of the Lord. And all of a sudden they began this. In front of the ladies you will see they have put a big picture of that Virat Rupa, you know, Vishwarupa Darshan, with Lord having thousands of heads, you know. Sahasra Tisha, Sapurusha. Lord as the Purusha, Virat Purusha. They put a picture of Vishwarupa Darshan on their head. And they started playing this, you know, kettle drums and bugles, you know. Bugles are sounding very loudly and kettle drums and going in. So sound, you know. And they were not saying the holy names. So I was thinking that, you know, better take Maharaj, too much of noise there making. I told Maharaj, can we proceed? I was asking. And he said, no, we will take darshan, you know. He was standing. He was shaking his body, you know. He was appreciating that, you know, that sound of kettle drums and all that. So when we came out, I was telling Maharaj, Maharaj, this worship is very much an Aishwarya. They worship in too much of Aishwarya here. Not like in our ISKCON temples. So he said, yes, Lord should be worshipped in Aishwarya, he said. We should see the Lord as Lakshmi Narayan. In that mood we should worship, because we are sadhana bhakta. It is good for us. So when you see the Vishwarupa Darshan, when you read that 11th chapter, your hair will stand on end. Your body will shiver when you hear the Varnan description given about the Vishwarupa Darshan, if you read 11th chapter. So we have to know the might of the Lord, how great he is, how powerful is he. And then after knowing his greatness, when you see that the very same Lord actually, in these 200 forms, Saumya Rupam, as Krishna is loving his devotees and serving them, then your love for the Lord will explode from your heart. You will see that how Vidura cried when he heard Lord was speaking about him. One's love for the Lord will erupt from the heart. Because you have to know the greatness of a person. Like just like if any great sannyasi or guru, you know, they come and pat you on your back, how do you feel? Or they touch your head, how do you feel? You feel very nice, you feel very, the whole life you remember that, because they are so great, you know their greatness. If you don't know the greatness of a person, how would it matter to you? Isn't it? Will it matter in any way to you? Like somebody going in the street comes and touches your head, how do you feel? In any way, anything special they feel? Or a very, like Prabhupada, Prabhupada, the person, they come and touch, how do you feel? Or they speak even one or two words to you, you feel very nice. Because you have developed that respect for them. And then after developing that respect, if you have some encounter with them, then that encounter becomes very pleasing. That becomes very relishable. That is why we should not demand that encounter before we understand the greatness of the person. That is why Lord explains vibhuti in this chapter. That's the reason we should know the vibhuti. Not just jump over like the sahajiyas. The sahajiyas, they are so fond, they claim to be so fond of the Lord. Radhe, 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 like this, and chanting Radha's names, rolling on the ground and everything. But they are equally fond of sense gratification also. Equally, if not more, fond of sense gratification. So what is the use of such attraction? If one has developed a genuine attraction for Radha Krishna, there is no possibility of even an iota of desire for sense enjoyment in the heart. It's not possible. One will be sold out completely. Even when there is opportunity for sense enjoyment, one cannot enjoy. One has lost the propensity for enjoying separately from Krishna. Exactly like a serpent whose fangs are removed. If you remove the fangs of a serpent, you can even put the snake on your neck, it will not do anything to you. Similarly, a very great devotee of the Lord, his enjoying mentality is totally removed. He cannot enjoy anything separate from Krishna. Because he sees everything as part and parcel of Krishna. We have to come to that stage in order to be eager to read books like Anandam Vrindavan Champu, Gopal Champu. Sometimes people come to the stall and ask, any new books or not? Any new books? New arrivals? You are fond of new arrival because the old arrival, the old books which have come, the Krishna book, you feel stale because you have a material outlook. It's a mundane vision. Because a mundane vision we cannot appreciate. One time at 2 o'clock in the night, Prabhupada woke up this Hridayananda Maharaj. He was sleeping. Prabhupada sent one person to call him. Then Hridayananda Maharaj came. And Prabhupada showed a book to him. This book is so nice, you see, isn't it? Yeah. And then Maharaj had just got up from the bed. He was trying to open his eyes and see, what is it? This one was Krishna book. He was wondering, what is so great about it? Krishna book everyone knows. Is there anyone who doesn't know Krishna book? Because it's so nice, you see. Prabhupada reading in his own book that time. beginning. So Prabhupada said, it is not my book. The words which I have written in Krishna book are not my words, these are Krishna's words. Krishna dictated to me and I am just, you know, vomiting. Whatever Krishna said, I just, it's coming from my mouth. I have no power to speak anything, but Krishna is speaking through my mouth. That is Prabhupada's conviction. So Prabhupada appreciated. Why he could appreciate? See, if you write something, how many times can you read? Sometimes you get bored because we know we are not so powerful. Prabhupada is reading again and again because it was Krishna's words. And there is a small book of Krishna book. So we should not be too eager to be fond of reading some classic literature. In fact, you will find, you will make one observation. When you read such books, you will find your senses getting agitated. Even when you read Rasa dance and Krishna dancing with the gopis and playing with gopis, when you hear all that, your senses can become agitated, because problem is we put ourselves on Krishna's role and we think all these beautiful girls are around me. We are thinking like that. How can our senses not be agitated in such a thought? But when we put ourselves in gopis' roles, then our spiritual senses and spiritual heart will be agitated. Like when the Chatush Kumaras, you know, when they smelled the tulasi leaf, when it entered the nostrils, Sankshobha Makshar Visham Abhichitta Tangoho, their whole body and their mind and senses became spiritually agitated. Like that. So we will become spiritually agitated and we will become restless in wanting to see Krishna. If we put ourselves in the role of? Who? Krishna? About? Gopis, yeah. As devotees. So at our stage we are not in that level. So we are, this is called the Purusha Bhava. We have that Purusha Bhava. See, Purusha Bhava, please don't mistake that Purusha Bhava is only with men. This is a special disease meant for men. No. Purusha Bhava is with every living entity. Everyone, whether male or female, externally. Every one of us are enjoying mentality. Because of Purusha Bhava, we are thinking, I am the enjoyer. I want to exploit and enjoy everything around me for my own selfish purposes. That kind of enjoying mentality is there. It's not very difficult to understand. Everyone in this world is trying to exploit people around them for their own satisfaction. It's very easy. If you have many relatives, friends, you have to go for many occasions, you can easily observe this. Everyone thinks, how can I be happy? Hell with others. Like that. So, with that mentality, we cannot relish Krishna's pastimes at our level. We should read over and over Bhagavad Gita, small books of Prabhupada, Krishna book, all these books to come to a point where this Purusha Bhava should be given up, the enjoying mentality should be given up. And you have to understand Krishna to be the Purushottama. Purushottama, topmost Purusha. And ourselves to be Prakriti, insignificant servant of Krishna, who is supposed to be at Krishna's lotus feet, serving him for his pleasure, not for our pleasure. And in that stage, then once love for Krishna will sprout in the heart, it will develop. Actually, such a person always tries to put everyone else before him and hide behind. That would be the nature. Like there are one class of gopis, when the reference goes on, Nitya Sakhi, they call us Nitya Sakhi. What they do, they don't go and participate in the dance, but they send everyone else. They tell all the other gopis, no, that's the place you have to go. They are fond of helping others to reach Krishna more, even before they reach. But Krishna is very pleased with those who bring others in, so he even reciprocates their love also, like that. So such a stage, one spontaneous love for Krishna will develop in the heart. And then one can see Krishna loving them. One can see Krishna's smile. And one smile of Krishna will eradicate huge mountain of dirt accumulated in the heart for millions of years. One muskan, one smile of Krishna will eradicate. Hasam Hare Ravanata Kila Loka Tibra Shoka Shushakra Vishoshna Hastila. All our sufferings and the material contamination of heart will be totally eradicated. So, the root is service, with a proper service attitude. That's the proper root. Not just jumping over and imagining oneself to be an advanced, spontaneous devotee. So that's why in this chapter we are going to hear many opulences of the Lord. Very wonderful opulences. And you have to patiently hear them, attentively hear them, and think of them, contemplate on them, meditate on them, understand Krishna's greatness, and serve Him with devotion and go on like this. Until the point when and that kind of spontaneity will come. Sometimes you go to Vrindavan Yatra, we like the Praja mood very much. Of course, we are Gaudiya Vaishnavas, it's not wrong to appreciate the mood in Braj. How the Vrajavasis are so. Like one Vrajavasi, old lady was singing when I had gone last time, Vrindavan. One song she was singing, we were very impressed. To Teda, Teri, Teri, Najari, Yasana. She said, hey Krishna, you are Teda, no? You're standing like this. You don't stand straight, no, stand like this with your flute. Your neck is also Teda, your leg is also Teda. No? And your movement is also Teda. You don't walk straight in the forest. You keep going like this, you know. You walk like this, like a snake. Huh? Because you go and pluck one flower from here, one fruit from there, and you go to one tree and you are swinging. Huh? So she was using that one word, Teda, and singing the whole song in varieties of ways, you know. Very amazing. Of course, these kind of appreciation, like when Purnachandra Prabhu came, we all appreciated the song. So once in a while it is alright. We can appreciate, because someday we can aspire to achieve this state of, you know, relishing these things truly from the heart. But on a regular basis, we should always try to understand the Lord's vibhutis, His opulences, Aishwarya, and learn to develop a respectful mode towards them. In fact, I try to do this even with devotees also. Why only with Krishna? We should try to develop respectful behavior towards Vaishnavas. Sometimes people feel, in order to have loving affection with devotees, you know, so we should be spontaneous. Spontaneous is not fast and give a slap on the cheek. So we are spontaneous devotees. So we don't have any awe and reverence. We are very spontaneous devotees. You pinch them or you slap them or you call them ill names. Sometimes devotees do that and say, actually, you know, and that person starts crying. And then you say, hey, I thought you are my friend, I can say anything to you. So we cannot behave like that, Vaishnava or Vaishnava. So in the name of spontaneity, we cannot misbehave with devotees or call them nicknames. So in the community of Vaishnavas, we should see Vaishnavas with a respectful eye. And we cannot also give up the etiquette of offering obeisances to them, treating them as superior to ourselves. It's very important. And that kind of mood of reverence very much helps us to develop this tender creeper of devotion in our heart. It develops more and more very nicely. And then gradually, when we grow, and the spontaneity will come as the right time comes, and the season comes, naturally the fruits will come, and the right season comes. Hare Krishna. Any one question?
Thank you for such a nice meeting. But if we are many times pressing the point, love to Krishna is very important. So we sometimes even take spiritual language, even Vaishnava or familiarity, as you actually pointed out, we help them lose these relationships. We take for granted how to avoid the kind of.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji is saying that many of our lectures we hear about Madhurya Bhakti and developing love for Krishna and such things. And in our Vaishnava relationship also, we often see devotees talking more about love and spontaneous affection for one another rather than having to develop this respectful relationship in the beginning. So people circumvent that and directly become spontaneous friends. So we don't generally stress on that. So how do we work on it? Actually, at different times we stress on different points. For example, today we are bringing this chapter on Vibhuti Yoga, which is actually going to talk about the vibhutis of Krishna, greatness of Krishna. So when we talk of greatness of Krishna, we have to glorify how to respect and appreciate the greatness of the Lord. When we go to 11th canto, we are going to condemn this also. You know, when you go to 11th canto, when Arjuna says, you know, Sakhehi Matva Pradvam Yaduttamam, you know, Hey Krishna, Hey Yadava, Hey Sakheti. I call you, Hey Krishna, Hey Yadava, Hey Sakha. You know, and I was sleeping in the same bed with you, I was eating, dining in the same table with you. You know, and we were together, playing together. I was calling you names like Yadava, Krishna, like that. So Arjuna is feeling kind of reverence. And at that time, that reverence is condemned and jnanashunya bhakti is appreciated. Jnanashunya bhakti doesn't mean ignorant bhakti. Jnanashunya bhakti means when one goes here from actual shunyata, we come to the state of jnana. And the stage comes which is jnanashunya, which means one has gone beyond jnana also, where one forgets the Lord's supremacy and relates to the Lord as a friend. That is appreciated, that's called jnanashunya bhakti. Like the gopis of Vrindavan, they forgot Krishna's supremacy and they loved him as a lover or friend like that. So at different times in our different lectures we stress on different things, and our Krishna conscious life means it has got different proportions, everything has its elements. Like sometimes one overly stresses only on respectful attitude and one becomes very rigid in one's activities. Sometimes one has to be flexible also even in dealing with the Lord, as we say. There are times when we appreciate spontaneous bhakti and there are other times when you offer respectful bhakti. But in general, in neophyte stage, the respectful attitude towards the Lord is better. Fortunately, in Bhagavatam, if you read all the nine cantos, if you read the first canto, for example, that only helps you develop reverence for the Lord. It's not possible to develop in a spontaneous love. The way the descriptions are given, that is the way Bhagavatam prepares us to become eligible for reading the 10th canto. That's why one should not jump to the 10th canto. We read gradually and then we understand. Like today is Varahadev's appearance day. So morning we were having a class on Varahadev today. So actually generally I speak on the Bhagavatam verse only, but today I was planning to speak on Varahadev because we have to know when Lord comes as Varaha. It is said when the devotee Brahmanas are offering prayers to Lord Varaha, that Varaha became so pleased that he gave them a glance of reciprocation and he also produced a sound thanking them for the prayers, like that is said. So the Brahmanas are very pleased, the devotees, they are very pleased. On the other hand, there were non-devotees who saw the form of the Lord Varaha, who came as thumb size and equivalent to elephant size, and then he became like a mere purva, huge size, and carrying the earth in his tusk. They became frightened when they saw the Lord. The very same form. And the whole body of the Lord was Satchidananda. So we have to understand, always in the Bhagavatam previous cantos, there's a stress given on Lord's greatness in different avatars, how he comes in different avatars. So when we keep on hearing about greatness, the respectful attitude keeps on developing. And then gradually, that respect gradually turns into love for that person. Like I was telling, when you know the greatness of a person, you respect him first. And then that person comes down to your level and he wants to serve the devotee, then that respect turns into love. Then one can appreciate the 10th canto. I think in relationship also I have seen, if you deal with devotees respectfully, then whenever there is a loving exchange, that becomes very relishable. I can tell you my practical experience. Like one devotee, in the name of frankly speaking to him, I told his fault on the face, thinking that, after all, if you tell the fault, the person can correct himself. And that made the relationship very bitter. Immediately, it made the relationship bitter at once. And it took months together to convince the devotee that actually I never meant what I said. I was just trying to help him, this and that, and at last, gradually the relationship was repaired. So, in relationships, you have to be very, very careful. In the name of being frank, we cannot be picking faults in everyone and going and telling their faults in their face. Because everyone is a person and they have very tender heart and people can get affected very easily. So, we have to be very respectful with devotees. Generally, nobody can deny this fact. Everyone likes appreciation. People like appreciation. In fact, we say even one should glorify one's spiritual master. When we go to spiritual master, let's say Maharaj is giving a lecture, we are hearing a 4 hours lecture from him. And then we go on meeting, we bow down to him and go and directly tell your problem. Maharaj, I am coming from Pune, I have this problem. So he asks, what about the lecture? I just now gave 4 hours lecture, you heard it or not? Okay, lecture is all right, Maharaj. But my problem is Pune, So even a great personality, generally they want to know, say, I am trying to serve you by giving a lecture. You should tell me how you like the lecture and you should reciprocate that love which I have given. So they will expect. So, Vaishnava dealings are very tender and we should be very respectful and conscious in our dealings. It's very, very important. In the name of spontaneous behavior, even if somebody is very intimate, we cannot in the name of being spontaneous misbehave with them. I have seen with my eyes those Vaishnavas who are too intimate and too spontaneous, at one time or the other, the relationship becomes strained. There are very rare relationships like Nityananda and Advaita Acharya, who will constantly fight, quarrel, they will play and they will never be separated. Those are very rare relationships. If you have anybody in the community of Vaishnavas like that, probably you can have a relationship like that. That kind of relationship. Very unique. Sometimes you know, somebody tells you, please don't do this. And in front of everyone, that person does it. And then they laugh and say that, oh, he is my friend, he won't take me seriously. He knows me. Actually, these things make relationships bitter. Somebody else had a hand up. For the Lord. See, he is asking, when we go to the market, sometimes we go to buy vegetables, fruits and other things. Sometimes we go to buy a dress and we bring it back, and at home we know that we are going to relish it. When you are eating the fruits or eating something or while wearing the dress, you are relishing it. So how can we say that I am doing this relishing for Krishna? How can we say that he is asking? Actually, we can enjoy through Krishna everything, but we should not enjoy separately. Like if you are eating, anything you want to buy and eat, conscious devotees, even while buying vegetables, they very carefully sort out and buy the good ones. So they know that I am going to make a bhoga for Krishna. I am not going to make a bhoga for myself, but I am making a bhoga for Krishna. I am going to cook for him. They buy the vegetables very carefully. And when they are washing, like we are washing the potatoes, sometimes potatoes are very muddy. You wash it very thoroughly, you take a lot of time and trouble to wash it. Because I am not going to eat it, but Krishna is going to eat it. With their consciousness they wash it, or they peel the cover, they cut it very carefully. And even while cutting, they cut it uniformly, not that one is very big, one is small. Because I am going to offer it to the Lord, it should be very nice. The rolling chapati should be circular, very nice. If you are cooking, I should put proper proportion, everything. And we should cook in mode of goodness, not in a passionate mood. So devotees prepare cooking like that. If you are buying dress also, when you are buying dress for yourself, you may have to make a choice, you select a choice. But you know that Lord is providing me this. Actually, you should always remember that everything comes from Him. That the textile mills may produce a nice clothes, but where did they get the thread from for making? They get the thread from the nature only. Actually, there is nothing in this world which does not come from Krishna. It's a maya katamidam sarvam. Lord is pervading everything. And a devotee should make a conscious endeavor to remember these things. That is why we begin with energies, and then gradually as we go higher and higher, we come to opulences of the Lord, and then when you know the Lord Himself, then you start seeing Krishna rather than His energies. You don't have to try to see Krishna through His energies, but you see the Lord's personal form directly. Like Madhavendra Puri, wherever he went, he was seeing the Lord's personality directly. That is a very advanced stage. Because we are not in that stage, Lord is giving us a clue how we can see Him through the energies. But through the energies it's more easy, like when you are drinking water, you are so thirsty. When you drink water, you feel, oh, this taste of water is Krishna. That's more easy for us to see, rather than appreciate the shams in that form directly. So that is why Lord in 7th chapter gave that, 10th chapter is telling more opulences. And then he will come to the Chatushloki, where he tells how devotees treat Him and how devotees deal with Him.